We are recording.
All right, we're going to call this meeting to order. Leon County Research and Development Authority Audit Committee. Today is October 31st and it is 2:09 PM. Any agenda modifications?
Yes, we have one correction, which is under item 7. Field work will not begin in 2016. It will begin November 13th,
that's good.
2017.
Yeah.
On the 13th, not 14th.
Perfect.
Okay.
The record show that change. Any other agenda modifications?
No.
Perfect. All right, we'll move on to public comment. Any public comment? Don't see any. Do I have a motion to approve the committee meeting minutes from the March 21st and June 22nd meetings?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. All right, we'll move on to review of audit committee charter.
So generally, during this part of the meeting, we just kind of make sure that we're covering the bases on what's in the charter, and given that this is new territory for some of us, that probably wouldn't hurt to go through that again. But the big thing is, you know, obviously you have been through some of the, you know, getting new auditors process, so
mm-hmm.
you can check that box. But the other thing is really down there under internal control systems. Most of that is performed by the auditor and presented, the information is presented at the end of the audit. The financial reporting process, obviously the same there. And then under independent auditors, where it talks about, you know, recommending the selection, which you've done, reviewing the performance of the independent auditors, including the adequacy of the audit scope and on plan. A lot of that was included in the proposals that were presented. Obviously, we're going to want to take a look at that each time, and Allison can address that in more detail, probably through the next agenda item. Continually evaluate the independence of the auditors. Any difficulties or restrictions encountered in conducting the audit. Probably the biggest difficulty we have is getting the GASB 68 information so we can actually finish it. Any disagreements that we may have between management and the auditors and preparing the financial statements. Again, most of this comes at the end. The significant changes in financial reporting practices order the authority's internal control systems. We did have a number of changes this year that I can address. We did a complete rewrite of the purchasing policy, and I have provided all these changes in all the policies to the auditors already, so they have this. But. So most of that just clarified what the procurement requirements were. The prior policy was a little hard to follow. We did make some clarification, particularly as it relates to what I'm authorized to do and what contracts I'm authorized to sign. The credit card policy we changed to, again, clarifying the review process, removing the board officers from that process, except in cases when the accountant, Christy, decides that I'm not spending appropriately on credit card. And then also it vests the authority for issuing new credit cards to me, except for my own credit card, which has to be approved by the board, which it has been, unless something changes. The investment policy, basically, we changed it, but it's a minor change. It was eliminating the duplications with the committee charter, just to make it easier to maintain that. We did create a new lease policy, which clarifies my authority to execute leases and eliminate some of the, at least clarify what's required to be reviewed by the board, because there were some, if you recall, there was some question about which, in which cases do the representatives of the higher ed institutions have to be present.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was determined that that's only the case of land leases. And then the internal control and operating procedures were changed, clarifying some of the procedures against actual practices, and then also assigning responsibility for reviewing the bank statement, taking that away from the treasurer, and giving that to me to do in addition to what Christy does in her reconciliation. So I still get a bank statement mailed directly to me, and she gets one mailed directly to her, so we basically can check each other. So those are the main policy changes that happened. Otherwise, there were no significant changes in financial reporting practices. Don't have any additional recommendations for improvements. I don't know if Christy has anything that she wants to suggest. But also the auditors will come back usually in their report. If they have any recommendations, they'll make those at that time as well. So that's the main portion of the review of that chart.
Perfect. Any questions for Ron at all?
Yeah.
The only thing I was going to flag is it relates to continually evaluating the independence of the independent auditors. Remember, there was a conversation during the RFP process about sort of industry practice. I don't even know what industry would be because it depends on what you're talking about, but practices as it relates to having internal policies that say that you can't use the same auditor for X amount of time. I serve on the board of directors for the Tallahassee Leon Federal Credit Union and NCUA, which is the sort of governing body for credit unions. For instance, they have mandatory policies that credit unions have to adopt that say over a certain amount of time you can't use the same auditors. I know that there was some discrepancy about that because it was sort of like, you know, during a time when you're with an auditor, they'll point to all the studies that say that's not necessarily the case and that it's okay to stick with the same auditor. And then all the auditors that were trying to get our business were saying, pointing to the studies that actually you should do that. So maybe just clarification on that. I don't know how we get that, but maybe just looking at whether or not similarly governed bodies, to the extent that there are them, to the extent that they deal with this issue. Again, it's not a pressing one. I don't know that it needs to be something that we absolutely jump on right away, especially because we've just renewed our contract. But I do think that's something that came to mind of just us getting to the bottom of that at some point.
Yeah, and I do have that on my to-do list to take a look at in the future, and that would be something easy to add to our procurement policy. So we do address the auditor and that they have to comply with the acquisition process according to state statute. That might be a good place to stick it, but yes.
Perfect. All right, anything else on that? No vote on that, right, Ron?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now we are audit planning discussion. Discussion of prior audit problems, the audit schedule, any changes in operations, procedures, special audit risks.
Well, I mentioned the policy changes. We're pretty much ready to go, I think, on the audit. We had a couple things. We just got the fixed asset depreciation schedule. Mm-hmm. This morning, and so with that, we'll be able to finish the last couple of steps. I have one issue that I'm trying to resolve. I'm hoping now is actually collecting the administrative claim from Bay. It was due on Monday, or actually last Monday. They paid us the $6,100 from the claim related to the hazmat hazardous material cleanup, but didn't give us the other $37,000. So if you recall, Kim Williams had indicated that he didn't, in the board meeting, he said he didn't think they had the cash to pay those administrative claims.
Right.
So far, the bank attorneys are saying we are going to pay the claims, but then again, they sort of didn't pay everything. They said it was an oops, but
$37,000,
yeah. So they said we were going to have it again yesterday, but not yesterday. This morning I was in contact with our attorneys to find out where it is. So we'll see. So we have a little time. The judgment was entered September 27th, I believe. So to me it was an issue of is it collectible or is it not, and whether or not to record it. So the piece that we collected in October, we went ahead and recorded it in 2017. So I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with this other piece before making a determination what to do with that. So we have the right to it. It's just, bankruptcies are weird. So we're dealing with that situation. And then we have one other issue, in addition to GASB 68 reporting information, and that's the Project Campus. We have executed those documents on the Project Campus, but we're still waiting for the official public announcement before we can go public with who it is and all of that. But there is...
It's not Amazon, is it?
Not that I know. Shell company. Anyway, there's one component to the deal, if you recall, and that was this letter agreement that included a pledge of a piece of equipment that we think is probably valued around $500,000. Mm-hmm. And so they pledged it, but they don't have to provide it for two more years, somewhere in this two-year window. That's one thing. So to value it is most likely going to be valued at the time of the actual transfer, I would think. And the other question is, if they wanted to give it to us today, we couldn't actually take it. We'd have no place to put it. You had that whole issue there. So it's a weird arrangement. It was something we kind of stuck in there at the end to try to get something tangible in that agreement. But at this point, I'm not sure about whether or not it should be recorded as, you know, some asset. And that's something we're going to talk about. But those are the issues that I've got that I know are still hanging out there. And then we've got to finish CAM, get the CAM buildings out. Now we have the depreciation piece.
And after we do the renovations, we suspect that will be the space where that
yes.
goes.
Yeah, I mean, at least to store it until we have a more permanent home, yes. Yeah. That was the intent was when we were talking about going ahead and doing the Collins renovation, including putting a makerspace in there, and that piece of equipment could go in there.
Right.
But now that we've pivoted and not going to build the makerspace in there, we will at least have a big open space that we could put that piece of equipment in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Post it on Craigslist too. If we just
yes, I'm not sure if the donor would like that a whole lot. But, yeah. So,
nice.
That's all I've got. Is there? I don't know if the two of you have anything you want to add.
I don't. We didn't have any prior issues as far as scheduling. Our only issue has been the GASB 68 information from the state of Florida, which is outside of everyone's control in this room. But other than that, we had no scheduling issues.
Have you heard any from them on when they expect to have it? Or
no.
I tried to get a hold this morning. I got the runaround and couldn't.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. So nobody even knows who answers that question.
Exactly. Good luck.
Yeah.
We've had no issues. We're out at Talcor's NAI Talcor's office for a couple of days during field work. We've been provided a lot of stuff so far. Mm-hmm. We're going to start on the 13th, so don't anticipate any scheduling issues so far, just depending on when the GASB 68 information is provided from the state of Florida.
Chrissy, did you have any issues, concerns, anything?
No.
The schedule is listed there on the next item. And the big challenge, obviously, if we don't get GASB 68 information sometime in November, you can throw the rest of that pretty much out the window. I will say that the reason December 18th is important is because I will be going on vacation for 2 weeks sometime thereafter. So I'd like to get that. If we can get it by the 18th, then we have the information. Because I'll be in the group to do the management discussion analysis and finalize whatever has to be done. So,
yeah, and I don't see any issues being able to adhere to that schedule as long as that information comes in.
So the scheduling is really set up to make sure that we can get to the get through another audit committee meeting in January to go through the review process there, to get to the week after that, it would go to the executive committee for their review and approval, and then it could go on consent, probably, unless there are issues. It could go on consent for the board meeting at 1st of February. If that doesn't happen, then we will move, the next board meeting, obviously, is going to be in April. And it's not a huge deal. We don't, we have some compliance reporting that we have to do. But we have, most of those, I think, are what, 6 months after?
9 months.
9 months after the close of the, is that right? It's usually June 30th, I think, is what, okay, yeah, so 9 months.
Yeah.
So June 30th is really the date when we have to have a lot of the compliance stuff done, so it's not usually a problem, but the information starts getting kind of old after a while, and you're just like, yes, thank you very much for the audit. So you're almost ready for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Any more questions, thoughts?
I know it's a short, sweet meeting. It's a necessary check the box.
Yeah, let's keep them short and sweet. Yeah. Clean as a whistle. That's
yes.
The kind of meeting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The long audit committee meetings are ones you don't
have. Exactly. Exactly.
Those
right.
Are those.
Yes. Yes. So.
All right. Well, we look forward to working with you again in your firm.
Absolutely.
In the last
yes.
Couple of years. Hopefully, we get that information soon and keep us on track. All right. Do we need to vote to approve the audit scheduling, or is it pretty
much? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It pretty much follows what was in the RFP, and that's obviously been approved, and honestly, it's going to have to be flexible anyways.
Right. Makes sense. Okay. Sounds good. Any new business? All right.